Hello and welcome into this week's edition of the Rookie Stripes podcast here on Racing News Now. I'm Garth Allen, and that is the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Tyler Guthrie. What's going on?
Are we actually sticking with that?
Why not?
Oh, boy. I'm having a day.
Gotta keep them on their toes.
I'm having a day.
Yeah?
We'll leave it at that.
No, we gotta know what kind of a day you're having.
Very bad.
You can't just leave it at that.
We'll just say that today is off the rails.
Okay. I feel like everybody is going to be very disappointed with that, but okay.
Probably.
The people want to know us.
Yeah. I cost a lot of companies.
I was like, yeah, I don't care.
I cost a lot of companies a lot of money today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that'll be
as fun. Long as it's not your own money. That's the important thing.
It's not my money. We're all good.
Yeah, that's the important thing. I have had quite the week trying to get my yard mowed. I made the mistake of getting an... I say mistake, and I still think it was a good move in the long run, but I got an electric push mower. Which I figure, okay, that'll save me money in the long run, not having to buy gas. But yeah. What I didn't anticipate was the battery only lasts for like 40 minutes. And my yard is about a 4 to 5 hour job.
How does it take you 4 to 5 hours to mow your yard?
That's a good question. It's probably going to be less than that after the first time. I let it go a little too long before the first for the first round of mowing this past week. So the grass was a little taller than it probably should have been. So it probably took longer than it should have been. It might be more like a 3 hour job. It's a fairly big yard, though. Like the backyard is probably 3 to 4 times bigger than the actual house.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, you're supposed to not mow when it's, like, raining all week.
It wasn't raining down here all week.
Oh, really?
No, it didn't rain.
It rained, like, every day here this week.
It rained, like, Monday night and Tuesday morning, and that was it. And then it's kind of sprinkled today.
Yeah, it rained Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Nice. Yeah, no, it was nice down here. It was like sunny and 70 all weekend. Great days to be outside. I just didn't want to be mowing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially when I'm not even fully getting the yard done. Like it literally, because what would end up happening was I would finally get up and I'd have to be getting up earlier than what I usually do anyway for work. So I'd go out and I'd do one pass on the yard, however far I got on one charge on the battery. And then I had to take it back in, and I wouldn't have enough time. It wouldn't be charged before I go to work. So I'd get like one 40-minute session per day. And I finally got the yard mowed after like 4 or 5 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Drive by Garth's house, and half of it's short grass, and the other half is taller than him.
Pretty much.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week. I don't like being a homeowner. If I ever get to the point where I sell this house and I go somewhere else, I don't know that I'm ever going to own a house again. I might buy a condo or something, but I don't think I'm ever going to buy an actual house again.
All because he's scared of mowing the grass.
I'm not scared of it. It's just annoying and time consuming, and there's better things I could be doing with my time. Because I'm not one of those people, I don't give a what my yard looks like, other than I just want it to be short so I'm not like walking through the yard picking up all sorts of ticks. So I don't care about making the yard look good to make the house look more presentable or to make the neighborhood look better. I don't care about that. I'm literally only doing it because I pretty much have to do it.
Garth is the end of the American dream.
What American dream? Does that even exist anymore?
No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's fun time.
Yeah, but we had some short track racing the past couple weeks.
Well, this past week. Last week was a road course.
Yeah. That
other than ARCA. Long
track racing. I don't know.
Yeah. Short track and long track.
I mean, it is.
We had short track and we had some right turns.
Oh, I finally figured out why IndyCar isn't at Texas anymore.
Why?
So the NASCAR COTA weekend was the weekend of Texas Motor Speedway. Mm-hmm. But when they have the races at COTA, they use Texas Motor Speedway's employees. So there was nobody to be there for an IndyCar race at Texas. So even though
different weekend.
Yeah, I guess we couldn't have scheduled it anywhere within the 2 months that we don't have anything.
Right?
I don't know. But that's the reasoning I saw was they don't have any people at the track to host an event.
I mean, I guess that's a decent reason as long as there, you have an actual reason for that being the only weekend you could be at Texas and you couldn't like do it the next weekend or something.
Yeah, it's like having a football stadium that only has 3 games a year and being like, yeah, there's no way we can add another event.
Right.
Like, yeah, you can. Come on.
Right. Well, and I guess that makes sense because the whole thing with COTA in NASCAR is it's being sanctioned by SMI. So It's kind of a quasi-SMI track, even though it's not owned by SMI. They're kind of renting it for the weekend.
Yeah, it's leased right now.
Huh?
It's leased right now.
Yeah. And then it basically took the second Texas weekend. So That kind of makes sense that they're at least keeping the people at Texas used, if that makes sense, and not like putting them out of a job or something or making them seasonal or whatever. Like, at least they still have a job.
Yeah, it's still kind of weird because you're still only there for 2 weeks of the year. Like, I get the point, but it's one of those, they're only doing 2 events for NASCAR the whole year anyway. But I don't know. I'm hoping that this Richmond race,
only doing one.
Yeah. I'm hoping that this Richmond race this past weekend kind of shows NASCAR where you can be done having 2 dates on certain tracks.
Yes. I mean, the thing is, I think if NASCAR was going to start doing that, they would have done it by now. I didn't think this race was terrible. Was the ending very stupid and controversial? Yes, but honestly, I thought this was one of the better Richmond races we've had in a few years. Was it great? No. I don't even know that I would call it good, but it's maybe a half step up from what we've seen in recent years from Richmond. It's moving in the right direction. But I do agree. I really don't know that we need 2 races at Richmond, especially if you can find something suitable to replace it with. Like, don't just find some random track that's going to be just as bad, but I mean, that's the thing. I don't know what you would replace it with because we're almost running out of options for ovals at this point. And I feel like if NASCAR starts cutting out second dates, like, aggressively, it's going to be a lot more road courses and a lot more street courses. And I don't think fans are going to be happy with that either.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather see, like, Montreal or a Mexico City or something like that than 2 Richmond dates. But I think that maybe this Richmond date would be a good place for like a Nashville Fairgrounds type of thing. We just went to Bristol 2 weeks ago. Then you go back to the other side of Tennessee here to a track that you've been trying to go to for the past couple of years and just get rid of an abysmal attendance race at Richmond with not very good racing in the first place. Try something new.
The problem is you say abysmal attendance, and I guarantee you there was more people at that Richmond race than what they can fit at Nashville Fairgrounds.
I've been
to Nashville Fairgrounds. There is not hardly any seating there. You could not have a cup-sized crowd there. And at this point, who knows if they're actually ever going to get those renovations done to make it doable for a cup race. Would I like to see the Cup Series back at Nashville Fairgrounds? Absolutely. But with where it stands now, you couldn't have a cup race there. There was more people at Richmond than there would be if they sold out Nashville Fairgrounds.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like just having the idea of people want these tickets, it's hard to get to this race. Like, you're lucky if you get to go. I feel like that has to do something for the race instead of just having about 70% of the stands empty.
I mean, it does, but let's think about the costs involved for putting on a race, both from the NASCAR side and from the track promotion side. I don't think there would be a return on investment there. The track and NASCAR would probably lose enormous amounts of money because there's just not the possibility of having enough tickets sold to make their money back. It would be a losing venture from the start. So it would be done before it even started. You might get 2 or 3 years out of it before they're like, we're not making any money off of this. We can't do this.
I get your argument, but like, I go to the Indy GP and like the NASCAR road course race at Indy. I paid like $20 for an infield seat, and there's maybe 60,000 people there. You're telling me they had a giant ROI on that?
Well, no, but that's not the whole weekend either. That's just Saturday. You've got more happening, though, and that's not even the big race.
That was for the Cup race.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Cup and Xfinity were both on the road course. I was thinking Saturday, because IndyCar was on Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's IndyCar and Xfinity Saturday and Cup Sunday.
That's right. I mean, yes,
it just feels like there's no ROI on people like butts in seats kind of stuff anymore, period, regardless of what track you're at.
No, but the thing is, they got to make some sort of money. Otherwise, the track closes. Now, right. Indy has enough other ways of making money that they're not hurting for money. I don't think Nashville Fairgrounds has that many other ways of making money. So the amount of money they would have to put into putting on this race with not really any other forms of revenue coming in, I just don't see it being feasible. I want it to be.
Yeah.
I just don't in their current state. They need about 3 to 5 times at least the amount of seating for that to be feasible, I think.
Wonder if you could like ease it in with trucks or something, and then like a couple years down the road, get something else in there. Like kind of like how they've done with Iowa and a couple other places before. Get a smaller series in there and then put the Cup Series in later once they've had an opportunity to renovate everything.
I mean, you probably could, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go that direction. I'm honestly surprised they haven't yet, and I feel like that might be more the pushback from the Nashville area.
I bought a house next to a racetrack and it's loud.
It's like the people that buy next to a railroad and then complain about the sound of the trains.
Yeah, who put that train there?
Yeah, right?
Come on.
So I feel like that has more to do with it than anything. I feel like they're hesitant to go there just because of all the pushback they're already getting, and I think they're worried about what they would get from more racing there, that they would get more pushback, and it would just be, it'd be bad publicity.
Yeah, but at that point, you're getting to the point of, well, why do we even have the track in the first place if we're not even going to have any races on it?
I mean, technically they do. ARCA East still races there. ARCA East is the highest level of racing other than like the grassroots stuff. They got a bunch of...
Ouch.
They got a big late model race there. Was it the All-American 400? And then they've got other local stuff they do throughout the year. So it's not that they don't race there. It's just that they don't have the national levels of racing like they used to.
Yeah. I get bugged with like tracks like Richmond and different things like that recently, that just the racing's been so bad and we go there twice a year. We shouldn't be doing that anymore.
What annoys me about the ARCA East race is that used to be a main ARCA race up through 2018. I think 2019 was the first year it was an East race. So, I mean, at least it used to be a main ARCA race, and then they brought ARCA East into the fold, and they're like, here, we'll give you this to kind of bolster the East schedule, and then we see what's happened to the East schedule.
Woo.
Yeah. So I feel like they kind of did Nashville dirty in that sense, and it could be a little higher on the ladder right now. It could at least be a main ARCA race, but instead they bumped it down and made it less prestigious.
Hell, you could even swap this Richmond date out with like a Chicagoland or something like that, because they keep saying they want to be in the Chicago market. And the identity of NASCAR for most of the 2000s has been mile and a half ovals. Well, you've got one sitting right there.
One that's going to be good, too. That's the thing.
Yeah, that track has been awesome.
Has been good, even with a car that wasn't good on those type of tracks. So
yeah,
now that we've got a car that is good on those type of tracks, you know it'll be good. But watch, they'll go there with the next gen, and it'll be the worst mile and a half.
Probably. I just think it's funny, like, even through the Gen 6 era, when everybody's like, oh, great, another mile and a half track, I hate this. And then most of, like, the good racing with the Gen 6 was at Chicagoland.
You know, the problem, the whole problem that we had with mile and a half through that whole time period was the dirty air. And you get those air bubbles between the cars, and they couldn't make passes. And Richmond showed this weekend that somehow that has gotten transferred to the short tracks now. Because if you watch there at the end of the race, Denny was on a bit of a different strategy before that last caution. He'd pitted like 10 laps later than Truex and Logano had, and he was mowing through the field. And finally, as the tires started to equalize just a little bit, as he caught Logano, all of a sudden, he couldn't do anything. He'd get so close to Logano, and he'd hit that little air bubble, and the dirty air would just keep him from passing Logano for second. And all of a sudden, then out of nowhere, once he got to Logano, Logano was faster than Truex, and he started reeling him in. But then you got into the lap traffic, and the lap traffic was making dirty air, and that was Truex's biggest issue on that last run, was getting through the lap traffic with all the dirty air. And I don't even understand how we've gotten to this point with dirty air being an issue on short tracks. It boggles my mind that that can even be a thing, that they f***ed this car up that bad on short tracks to where dirty air is now a problem on short tracks.
Yeah, when you're doing like 70, 80 mile an hour and not getting any downforce help anyway.
Yeah, but yet dirty air is not near as big of a problem on bigger tracks as it used to be. It's still kind of a thing on mile and a halfs, but it's not anywhere close to what it was with the Gen 6 car. So no. I don't know how we've reversed that. I don't know how we almost don't have dirty air on mile and a halfs, but all of a sudden dirty air is such a big problem on short tracks. How did they do that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really get it, because the whole air thing is, at high speed, the air coming over the car gives it more downforce, it makes it turn better. But if you're doing like 70 mile an hour in the corners, you're not getting a whole lot of downforce anyway. That's mostly mechanical grip at that point. And I don't get it at all. And I mean, I don't know. We had like the car tomorrow when we still had the Gen 4 and that like season in 2007 or something where they kept switching between two cars. Let's just do that on short tracks. We'll bring Gen 6 back for short tracks and use the next gen everywhere else.
You know what's funny? You bring that up, and I've been playing NASCAR 08 one night a week on my Twitch streams, and we are up to the Cup Series now. And since it's NASCAR 08, it's for the 07 season. So when we're in the Cup Series, we're switching back and forth between the Gen 4 and the COT, depending on what race it is. And it's really cool.
This one's got like Tony Stewart on the cover and everything, right?
I think so, yes. Cause
it's like one of the older EA games.
It was one of the last EA games. 09 was the last EA game. I'm
pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Tony, because Elliott Sadler was on 07 and Gordon was on 09. So I'm pretty sure it is Stewart.
Yeah, I had 8 then.
Yeah. See, I never played 08 before now. 07 was the last EA game that I played, and then I picked up 2011, the first Utechnix game, and thought it was terrible, and never touched another Utechnix game until 15, and then got all the Heat games.
Yeah, NASCAR games are such a joke at this point.
Although, I did see they released a concept artwork shot for NASCAR 25, the iRacing game.
They did.
It looks pretty good. I mean, it's concept artwork, so it's not the actual game. So, you can't really glean too much from it other than it's got that feel of, like, that garage main menu screen from NASCAR 09. Which makes me think we're going to get like more of an owner mode oriented career mode, which could be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be cool. At least, like, I don't know, it's better than having the blank black screen and just says NASCAR Heat 5 all over the back of it. That started making me angry.
Well, I know everybody wants more of an owner mode for career mode, but I'd like the choice of what to do in career mode. I've always said, me personally, I would rather in career mode do more of like a realistic thing. Like you start out in ARCA or late models or something and you kind of prove yourself and you get signed into some development program. And that development program starts putting you into different rides. Like say you get signed into the Toyota development program. So you get a few races in a Venturini car in ARCA and then maybe a full season in Venturini. And then you get a few truck races with a Tricon truck or something. And then you keep moving up the ladder like that. Or if you don't perform, they kick you out of the Toyota camp and you got to like try to find a ride elsewhere. That's the career mode that I want. But obviously I feel like it should be a choice. Like if you wanted to just go up the like Jordan Anderson route and just own your own team the whole way up and maybe start a second car and hire drivers or whatever, you could do that as well. I would like that. That to me would be the perfect career mode. You have the option of either trying to prove yourself and get into some sort of development program to kind of fast track your way up the ladder, or you can go into owner mode and build yourself up from there.
Yeah, there's such a huge market in video games for racing that it's just been missed since probably about NASCAR 08. That's probably about the last. This might be nostalgia talking, but I think that was about the last good NASCAR game that I played. And you know, even though it was an EA game in the late 2000s.
You know, you say that, and the more I go back and play EA games, the more they annoy me because I like what they did in terms of features. I like how the career modes are laid out. I like the challenges. Basically, everything about the game until you get into the race. The physics are atrocious. I hate the physics so much.
Well, that's not even an exclusive to NASCAR games at that point, though. Like, no. Back then, the F1 game physics still sucked. I mean, Forza was probably about the most realistic thing, and that's just because they have all of Microsoft working on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, like, if you could take all the features from, like, NASCAR Thunder 2004 or like Chase for the Cup 05 and put them with like NASCAR Heat 4 physics, I think you'd have pretty close to a perfect game or the closest thing we've had to a perfect NASCAR game.
Yeah, I still hate the Heat physics for whatever reason. It's so stiff to me. I don't, that might just be a me thing, but I don't like it at all. I think probably the last NASCAR game I had fun playing was either 08 or 05 or something like that.
I mean, yes, the physics are a little stiff, but they feel better to me than, like, right now my biggest gripe with 08, which I feel like it's like the third or fourth drastic change they've made with physics in all the EA games at that point. The issue that I have with 08 is it's extremely loose on base setup. Yeah. Like if I want to just slightly move to the inside, like on the start to pass the car in front of me, if I hit the thumbstick even a little bit, it just goes vroom. It doesn't, like, it's not a gradual just ease to the left. No, it's vroom, vroom, vroom. Like, and then you get into the corner and you're just drifting on fresh tires. Like, how?
Well, you play Heat on a wheel, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because using on the controller, it's not good.
Yeah.
No matter what setup I run, my right front tire is at like 19% after three laps.
I've never enjoyed using a controller on anything. Like, if it's got the option for the wheel, I absolutely use the wheel. Even if the physics aren't perfect for the wheel, I feel like I'm more in control of the car on the wheel. I've never been able to completely fully figure out controller driving. I'm just not good at it. I never have been.
Yeah, you just got to think, though, that like probably the only couple racing games that actually have somewhat realistic physics are the F1 games, which are partnered with a multi-trillion-dollar racing series around the world.
Yeah,
I mean, they've just got money out the ass to spend on that. And then the other one I think is Forza, which, I mean, that's all of Microsoft working on that. That's like that's Microsoft's baby. And then you got things like iRacing, stuff like that, that are built to be simulations. Anything else that's going to come out on a console is kind of an arcade game anyway. So
I'm not convinced that you can call Forza realistic. Like, Forza is more like Simcade to me. Like, it is smooth physics, but I'm not convinced it's realistic physics.
I mean, you got a point there. Forza has always been more about the graphics and what they can do with that than the actual racing, but it is playable, and as far as things you can get on console, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I was disappointed with the recent Forza Motorsport, though. It felt very lacking in content.
Like the one that came out within the past year or so?
Yeah, the one that didn't have a number. It was just Forza Motorsport.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten that one yet. It feels like they tried to soft launch the game and put in a whole bunch of DLC later and just didn't.
I think that's exactly what they did. And I think they have added a few things recently. I haven't gone back and played it for months, so I don't know what they've added, but whenever they first released it, yeah, there was hardly anything there. It got very boring and monotonous very quick.
I know they posted like a picture of Lime Rock Park or something the other day. It's like that's been in the base game the past like three games.
Yeah. The biggest thing for me, and I think the biggest turnoff for me and why I got away from it, my favorite thing about Forza, and I've never been much of an online player for any game, especially racing, but I really enjoyed Virus Tag online. I thought Virus Tag was super fun. And they didn't have it in this one.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, there goes me getting online, and the single player is getting boring, so I'm done.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Just Forza is about the only opportunity you got to drive IndyCars on console right now.
Yeah. But you got to hold out hope that iRacing is eventually going to do it. I think they will once they get their feet under them with the NASCAR game and it's established. I think they will delve into IndyCar. I would say within 5 years, we'll have an IndyCar game. That's my guess.
Well, hopefully within 5 years, we still have IndyCar.
Did I miss something? Are we worried that IndyCar is going away?
It's not great.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've been having a rough couple weeks.
In terms of...
Well, they almost lost Long Beach last week until here's one for irony. The guy that founded CART after the IRL CART split bought the other 50% of Long Beach and dedicated it to IndyCar.
Okay. So,
CART is coming back and bailing out IndyCar from the only race that's important other than the Indy 500.
Yeah.
Because NASCAR was going to get 50% of it, I think, is what it was leaning towards. Because it was owned by two guys. It was IRL guy and a CART guy. And the IRL guy died, and his estate was selling off all of his assets and all that. And I guess that 50% of Long Beach came up. And NASCAR, Penske Entertainment, and Liberty Media all put in a bid for it. And then the other 50% guy just said, yeah, I'll take that. And now he's got 100% of it. And
so wait, if NASCAR only bought 50%, why would that mean IndyCar was out if the other half was still owned by the kart guy?
From my understanding, it was like 50-50 on everything as far as like funding and all that goes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got 50% contributing this much, then the board of directors at Long Beach is going to lean towards what they say, kind of deal. But from my understanding, if NASCAR had got it, IndyCar would have gotten the boot.
Hmm.
I mean, IndyCar can't even race it like 3/4 of the tracks in the U.S. as it is, because they're all SMI or NASCAR owned tracks. And NASCAR won't let him go there because NASCAR treats IndyCar like it's the devil or some shit.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure they can't go to... I feel like they can go to NASCAR tracks. They just can't go to SMI.
I think it's both. Because that's why they don't go to like Phoenix, Pocono, Nashville, all that kind of stuff.
Well, hang on. I'm looking through the schedule. Iowa. Iowa's a NASCAR-owned track.
Is that a NASCAR-owned track?
Mm-hmm.
That might be the only one, then.
I think that... Yes, that is the only one, because...
Nashville
Super Speedway is owned by Dover. Well, no, that's an SMI track. Because SMI bought Dover.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, so okay. They have one SMI race, one NASCAR race. Milwaukee is owned by the Wisconsin State Fairgrounds.
Yeah, everything else is independently owned or IndyCar affiliated.
Gateway's independent too.
Yeah.
And Mid-Ohio is independent. Road America is independent. Okay, so yeah, there's one SMI and one NASCAR. So you can't use that excuse to say they won't let them race at those tracks.
Yeah. Just from my understanding, it's so much of NASCAR being like, yeah, you're not going to go here on this date. And mm-hmm. IndyCar's like, well, what are we supposed to do then?
Right. You know, what's interesting is I've noticed that it almost feels like, and I don't know if this is an NBC thing or an IndyCar thing. I think I've realized that IndyCar and NASCAR are trying not to conflict with each other time-wise, since basically, all the IndyCar races start at noon and all the NASCAR races start at like 3:30. I think that's the whole thinking there is, even when they're not both on NBC, they're trying not to conflict with each other.
Yeah, IndyCar always ends up getting the short end of the stick and trying to figure out where they can fit in and not compete.
Is that
with
the short
anybody.
End of the stick, though? Because the fans keep saying they want noon start times.
I don't want any. Well, okay. I can't say that. I'm not a fan of noon or 3 o'clock starts for most events anyway. Like road courses at noon, sure. The Chicago street course starting at 3, that was stupid.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Oval races, I don't even think IndyCar has a night oval race this year because both of the Iowa races are noon and 3 or something.
Well, hang on. Let's go back to the schedule here. No, the first Iowa race is at 8.
Oh, great. So they race the first one at night and then come back the next morning to do it all over again.
Yep. 8 p.m. Saturday night and then noon on Sunday.
Because that makes sense. I don't know. There's just like so much organizationally at IndyCar right now that's so bad and not getting any better. Like they've renovated IMS. That's nice. Good on them for that. But other than IMS and getting bailed out in Long Beach, what else does the series have right now?
I mean, that's true. I mean, it does seem like they're starting to pick their fan base back up.
TV ratings are down.
Are they?
Yeah, they're down like probably 8 to 10% from what they were last year.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, to be fair, everybody had all these high expectations when Penske took over, and it doesn't seem like he's really done all that much. He hasn't really changed anything. If anything, he's kind of making it worse.
I think most of what he's done so far has been damage control, just trying to keep what he's got, not lose more. And then, I mean, COVID didn't help, all that kind of stuff. Then the whole Nashville situation this year, which I'm happy about how it's turning out, where they're going to be on the oval at Nashville instead of the street course. But the street course is going to be their marquee event to end the season. And they're like, you're not doing that.
Yeah. I see. And that's the thing. Most of what he's done is damage control. So I feel like had the damage control not happened, nothing really would have changed since he has taken over with IndyCar. So I feel like he literally bought it just because it was like a lifelong dream or something, and he just wanted to be able to say he owned IndyCar. And it wasn't to improve the sport. It wasn't to do anything great with it. It was just to be able to say, hey, I own IndyCar.
Yeah, I mean, now some of the team owners are starting to speak out against Penske and be like, he hasn't really done much. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, really, this is what happened when IndyCar split the first time. The series said, oh, we're doing all this, it's great. And the team owner said, no, you're not, it sucks. And then they split. And, I mean, IndyCar never came back from the split. So if we split it again, it's you might as well just turn off the lights.
You know, that would be interesting because we've talked about the possibility of a NASCAR split coming soon as well. Can you imagine a NASCAR and an IndyCar split at the same time?
Dude, American Motorsports just go down the drain.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've already got all this, like, as much interest as people have in F1 right now, if both major American Motorsports series split up and then had all that political stuff going on, you know how many casual fans are going to say, well, screw this, I'm going to go with the organization that actually knows what's going on and then not pay attention at all.
See, that's a funny thing, though. Does F1 really know what's going on? Like, F1, out of all these series, I feel like is the one that should have a split. Like, every team except for Red Bull should leave and form their own series, because it's literally the Red Bull series right now.
No, I agree, but visually looking at it, nobody's saying we want out. There's a desire to be there. They won't even let Andretti in, which is stupid, but whatever. Like, everybody wants to be there. Everybody that's there will stay there. There's not this, well, the series says this and all the team owners say that, and you know,
everybody wants to be there because they know how big F1 is right now. And even if every single team left and it was just Red Bull, they still couldn't make a series that would get more ratings than F1 does.
Well, and it's stable. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody that's there has been there for, what, Haas is the newest team, and they've been there for frickin' ever. Like,
are they even really a new team, though? Because didn't they, who did they buy when they came in?
I don't, it wasn't Marussia, and it wasn't Cosworth. They started doing their own stuff, but they, like, bought out somebody's, like, not charter, but, like, their spot when they left.
So essentially, it's not that they're a new team. They're just a rebrand. Like, every other team is rebranded every 2 years lately.
No, it is a new team. It's entirely new people and entirely new equipment and cars and everything. It's just I don't even think they got any assets. They had a partnership with Ferrari. But, okay. I mean, that was 2014. That was 10 years ago now that the most recent team has been there, and everybody else, like Mercedes, has been there for, what, 16, 12-something years now? Red Bull's been there since the early 2000s, late 90s. Ferrari's been there since the beginning of time. McLaren, same deal. Like, there's names that have been there forever. And in Cup Series, you got Hendrick, Gibbs. You could argue Haas, even though they're not good anymore. Like, there's not as much identity.
When was Haas ever good?
And they had a couple good years in the 2010s. They had a couple decent
years where they were mid-pack. That team has never competed for a win.
I was talking NASCAR.
Oh, okay. I thought we were still talking F1.
Like, what? Never competed for wins, huh?
You know, Harvick just casually won a championship and should have won a second. But
so did Tony.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Like, what?
Yep, wrong sport.
I must have been on some stuff in the 2010s.
Well, you know, it wouldn't surprise me.
I don't know. It's just, if IndyCar does go down this direction of, like, towards another split, it's not coming back.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think the only way something like that works and they can make it sustainable is if they, instead of a split, they basically have a coup and just push Penske out.
Yeah, but you figure you split and Penske's going to keep the 500, which is the only thing anybody cares about.
Mm-hmm.
All the team owners are going to go do their own thing again and do something that, like, nobody already cares about the rest of the season. Now they don't have the Indy 500. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I'm saying, though. So you don't split. You basically just force Penske out. Keep the series all in the same, in itself. And you just say, okay, Penske, we don't like what you're doing. You got to get out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that having any positive effects either, but
I feel like that's the only way to make it work, and it doesn't completely kill the series.
Yeah. I don't know.
I almost don't even see Penske, if they were to boot him out, I don't see him taking the 500 with him or starting his own series. He's close enough to retirement at this point. I could see him just running his teams and retiring.
He was the one that started his own series last time.
Oh, yeah. Well, but he was also, 20, 30 years younger? How long ago was that?
What was that, like mid-90s?
Yeah, so he was like 30 years younger. Does he really have it in him to start a new series now?
I mean, all he's got to do is give it to like Tim Cindric or something.
Fair enough.
I mean, he's got people.
Cindric into it.
He's got people there that could do it for him if he wanted to.
Yeah. I see that I missed my opportunity to mow today because it just started raining really hard.
See, now you can't do it.
Yep. I got to do it tomorrow now, I guess. There's a chance of rain tomorrow, too. So
the 2-week mowing job.
It's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be an absolute nightmare.
Just get a gas-powered mower, dude. Come on.
I've already bought this one, though.
Join the 20th century. Let's go.
I just joined the 21st century. Yeah, okay. We'll go back a century, sure.
Sure. Then you can get your yard done at one time.
Well, yes, but then I got to keep going and buying gas.
Yeah, but now you got to keep going and charging the thing.
Just buy an extra battery.
Then go buy an extra battery and finish it all.
The batteries are almost as expensive as the actual mower.
So get the other one and just put a little gas in it.
Oh my god. Yeah, it is absolutely pouring out there right now. And the sun's starting to come out.
Oh, great. That's not confusing at all.
No, not at all. Gotta love Indiana weather.
I love it here.
We probably should talk about some Richmond races, though. We talked a little bit about it, but then we got sidetracked like we always do.
Denny Hamlin pulled Denny Hamlin. That, I mean,
so
he clearly cheated and then says he didn't and then said he did.
Well, so here's the thing. Clearly cheated, I don't know, is the right term for it. Was he rolling before the line? Yes. Unless I've missed it, though, I haven't seen the SMT data. So is it possible he was just rolling and not on the gas?
Conveniently not getting the SMT data when everybody thinks Denny did the wrong thing. But when somebody else does something, SMT data is out like Monday.
Right. Well, and I did see who was it? I think it was it Todd Gordon and Steve Letarte do a podcast or something? It's like,
oh, that was stupid. That like made my brain hurt watching that.
Oh, did you watch that?
Yeah.
Did I send that to you?
No, I think I just saw it on my own.
Okay. Yeah, where they were kind of breaking it down and kind of, and I'm not saying they're necessarily right, but the way they were looking at it was, Denny is looking at the row behind him, seeing that they close right up on his bumper. So he's trying to avoid them having that run as they get to the line to be able to pull down and make it three wide. So he's kind of going to make sure that he's got the inside protected. So okay, he's reacting to the row behind him.
So you let them get to you and then go at the end of the restart zone after they've already had to check up because you're not going yet. Don't go before the box.
Fair enough. No, I agree. And again, I'm not saying that Steve Letarte and Todd Gordon were right. Now, I know basically every fan is calling for Denny to be disqualified and blah, 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 and that Joey Logano won this race and blah, blah, blah. Was he rolling before the line? Yes. Did NASCAR call it? No. So, Denny won this race. Whether NASCAR made the right call or not, that is what is up for discussion right now, not whether Denny officially won the race, because Denny did win the race.
Yeah.
By all rules given, Denny won the race. Now, what I take exception with is, was it Elton Sawyer? Elton Sawyer came on SiriusXM on Monday explaining the way that they had looked at it and basically said, well, if it had been in the middle of the race, we would have penalized him. But since it was the last restart, anything goes. That. And yeah, I'm like, so you're going to open up this can of worms and say that the restart zone doesn't exist on the last restart. That's basically what we're saying here.
So you're setting the precedent of at the end of the race when it actually matters, who cares?
Right. That's basically what they're setting here. And again, I don't fault Denny. Like, if they're not going to make that call, do it.
Oh, like, yeah.
I don't fault Denny at all for that. Make them make the call. If you got to do what you got to do to win that race, make them make the call. I don't fault him at all for that. I do fault NASCAR for not calling it, though. And that's what I have the most problem with right now, is they're setting a dangerous precedent right now of, if he can roll that much before the restart zone now, where are you going to call it at? Because if the beginning of the restart zone is where you're supposed to be calling it and you're not, what is the point in having the restart zone at all? Yeah. And where are you going to start calling it at? Can he start rolling on the backstretch?
I might as well at this point.
Right?
They're not going to do anything about it, I guess.
But that's the thing. If they call it on the backstretch, where's the line at? Because if it's not where the restart zone starts, you got to show where you're going to actually call it at.
This is just one of those, like, I don't know, this and the, like, the double yellow line rule at Daytona. It's so...
Which Denny has also benefited from. Talladega, exactly. 2020.
It's just so freaking obvious. There's a line. It's not even just on the wall anymore. It's a line painted across the entire track.
Mm-hmm.
You clearly see him go before everybody else, before the line. There's nothing to talk about. Mm-hmm. He went before the line. There's a line there. You went in this box. He went before it. That's a penalty.
But apparently it's not. And again, that's the thing. Like, if you know NASCAR's not going to call it, good on you, Denny. Like, if you know you can go before then, they're not going to call it, do it.
Yeah, but like, then I don't have calls into question, like,
if you know they're not going to call their own rule, do it.
Yeah, but then, like, when are we going to enforce the rules? Are we picking and choosing when we enforce the rules? Just when it helps NASCAR? Like,
right, and that's my point. Everybody's mad at the wrong person here. Don't be mad at Denny. Denny did what he had to do. He knew they weren't going to call it. That's why he did it. Be mad at NASCAR for not enforcing their own rule that's in black and white.
I think I'm just more mad of the fact that Denny won than being mad at
Denny. If it's anybody else, you wouldn't have been mad at him.
Oh, no, I would have been mad still, but even if it was Byron, I would have been like, ooh, that's going to suck. And then at the end of the race, be like, what?
Yeah. Well, and to build on what Elton Sawyer said, I believe he also made mention of the reason they didn't call it at the end of the race was because in the middle of the race, they could have brought him down for a pass-through or a stop-and-go or whatever, and that could have been his penalty. But they didn't want to give him a penalty after he won the race.
Okay, so here's how you fix that. Leader jumps to restart at the end of the race. You immediately yellow flag it before they even get to the line, send him back to tail end the longest line, re-rack him, start it again.
Yep.
That it shouldn't even have gotten to the start-finish line to the green to begin with.
No, you're exactly right, and I think that's the best solution to this that I have heard. I like that a lot.
It looks like NASCAR saw him go and was like, get the broom out, sleep it under the rug, get the hell out of here. Which, I mean, we've seen them do that several times. Like, even in the mid-2000s, Greg Biffle ran out of gas coming to the checkered flag and lost a position to, I think, Jimmy Johnson. And was not under power. And they're like, Greg Biffle wins, let's get out of here. And that literally in your rule book right here, it says that you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's to keep the teams in line and keep their cars legal and all that from now on?
I think the biggest issue is NASCAR's officiating, and as you said, it's not a new phenomenon. Like, this has been an issue for a long time, and I think it's why NASCAR loses a lot of credibility, especially when things like this happen. Like, how often do you see something like that happen in F1? How often do you see something like that happen in other sports? I know people yell and scream about officials in football and basketball and not being consistent with their calls, but I don't think it's anything that's ever this egregious. And I feel like most of the time when people complain about that in like football or basketball or something, it's not so much that they think the official wasn't following the rules. It's that it was something against their team, and that's what they're mad about.
Yeah. I mean, if you have this in F1, then standing start, somebody goes for everybody else, regardless of when it is in the race, like if they had a red flag and restarted it, they're going to review it. Time penalty. That end of story. I mean, it's very clear. I mean, I saw a solution somebody posted, like, fine, just stop them on the front stretch every time you have a restart and just have a standing restart every time. That way you can see if somebody goes before you drop the green. Like, that'd be cool as f***. You just get like 30 something cars lined up on the front straight and dude holding a flag and he just goes, go, whatever he's playing.
No, that'd be cool. I'd like that.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. It would never work. We would crash in turn one every single time. But, you know, we go back to single file restarts and you have everybody lined all the way around the track.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a mess. But I mean, it still boils down to NASCAR has this restart zone that they created themselves with this imaginary line that they painted on the track and said, go between these two lines. And he didn't go between those two lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, how is that not a call?
And, I mean, how many other times have we had a restart this season? Like, it's got to be in the 50s, 60s, something at least. And nobody else has done this.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think Denny, being here as ancient as he is at this point, would know where the restart zone is since it's a line painted across track.
Right, but again, he knows exactly where the restart zone is, but he also knows NASCAR's not going to call it. That's why he does it. So again, don't be mad at Denny. What's the saying? Don't hate the player, hate the game. You can't be mad at Denny in this situation. If you are, you're mad at the wrong person. You got to be mad at NASCAR because NASCAR is the one that screwed this up.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree. I just think it being Danny makes it even funnier for the entire situation that nobody likes him anyway. And he's like, I beat your favorite driver.
I love how.
Yeah, because he cheated your way to it.
I love how even at his home track, everybody was booing him on the front stretch.
Every time we go to Richmond, I know it's going to be Denny Hamlin or Martin Truex Jr. winning the race, and I just don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we got to start trying to wrap up, though, because you got to be getting out of here very soon, though.
Yeah.
Xfinity also happened, but nothing really happened there.
Classic.
Chandler Smith dominates at the end, win number two for the season. Eric Almirola was fast, came home in second. I think led the most laps. I'd have to pull that back up and see, but I think he did lead the most laps. And then 1-2-3 finish for JGR with Taylor Gray coming home in third in his first Xfinity start. So great run for him. Good to see that. And then Joey Gase made the headlines probably for the first time ever with his bumper throw at Dawson Cram. I saw an article earlier today that made me laugh out loud that said, NASCAR star Joey Gase. I'm like, you clearly don't know NASCAR because he is not a star.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Yeah.
NASCAR legend Corey LaJoy.
That's right. but that's basically it from Xfinity. Not a lot happened there. So before we get into picks, we didn't do an episode last week, so we do not have Richmond picks. But we'll quickly go through what our points look like after COTA, since we didn't get to recap those last week. For trucks, Tyler leaves there with the points lead. I cut in just a little bit, but Tyler now leads by 16, 162 to 146. Xfinity after COTA, I still lead by 16, even though Tyler cut into the lead there, although he shouldn't have until SVG got disqualified, but that's neither here nor there. And then for Cup, Tyler has the points lead for the first time this season after McDowell's abysmal showing and his brake issues at COTA. Tyler now holds a six-point lead in the Cup Series. So on to this weekend's picks. We have four races this weekend. F1 will be in Japan this weekend. I pick Max Verstappen. even though that wouldn't have been a good pick for Australia.
That wouldn't have worked this week.
Nope. That will be Sunday at, right? Sunday? 7th? Yeah, Sunday at 1 a.m. Eastern. So now we start getting into the middle of the night races here in America. And then all three NASCAR series are in action from Martinsville this weekend. Trucks on Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1 for the Long John Silver's 200. Tyler, who you got for trucks?
I'm going to go with Corey Heim this week. All three of those trucks have been really good the past couple of times we've been to Martinsville. And yeah, he's Tricon, right?
There's five Tricon trucks.
No, there's five. Okay, he and the Grays have been really good the past couple times that we've been to Martinsville.
Dean Thompson is also a Tricon truck, as well as the number one All-Star truck.
Okay, so Dean Thompson doesn't count. So the three of them. but yeah, like the three of those guys have been really fast the past couple weeks, and I think Corey Heim is the better of the three of those, and I think he'll pull out this week.
All right, fair enough. I'm going with one of the other three Tricon trucks, apparently, Taylor Gray. He was super fast at Bristol and has been super fast to start this season. I think he finally picks up his first win of his career in the truck series, picks it up this weekend at Martinsville. Then on Saturday, also 7:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1, the Dude Wipes 250 for the Xfinity series. Tyler, who Dude Wipes up the field on Saturday night?
I think Sammy Smith's going to wipe up the field with those Dude Wipes. He's got two top fives the last two times we've been to Martinsville.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, fair enough. He definitely has been fast at Martinsville and on the short tracks. The short tracks are his forte. So that wouldn't surprise me. Get his first win there with Junior Motorsports. I, though, am going to go with a guy making his second start of the season, made his first start at Richmond, led the most laps, finished second. I think Eric Almirola picks up his first win in his return to JGR in the Xfinity Series. Eric Almirola puts the 20 car in victory lane at Martinsville. On to Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern on FS1. Okay, so we finally have an FS1 race. The Cookout 400 for the Cup Series. Tyler, who cooks out on the field on Sunday afternoon?
I think Martin Truex Jr. is going to cook the field this week. He definitely should have won at Richmond this past week. He was really fast the entire race, dominated the crap out of it. And he's really, really good at Martinsville. He's got, what, 3-4 wins at Martinsville now? He's always fast at Martinsville.
Yeah, I mean, once he finally got a short track win, which that was one of the things they always talk about, Martin Truex Jr. has gone this long and never won a short track race, yeah, super speedway racer, blah, blah, blah. Once he finally won a short track race, he's been super good at him.
But they never put that stat up for people who've never won a road course race.
Yeah, right? That was another thing. Before we get into my pick, I was very disappointed with his behavior after the race.
Oh, yeah, me
too. Both the last lap with Larson and then running into Denny on the cool-down lap. Like, I get that you're frustrated. I get that Denny jumped the start. But grow up.
I get the Denny one because, I mean, Denny's done that to people before.
Yeah.
Screw Denny. But, like, what did Larson do?
He was just frustrated and Larson just happened to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was funny that them beating a little bit coming to line and then Larson just kind of kicking him out going to turn one. But
did I send you that meme about them, by the way?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, I thought so. I don't want to go into details about that on here, but that was a good meme. Anyway, yes, I am going to go with Alex Bowman. Bowman has been surprisingly fast to start this season. We haven't seen a lot of speed out of him for the last year or two, but he has been back up there running near the front this season. I think a win might just be around the corner. I think Alex Bowman picks up his first win of the season this weekend at Martinsville.
Chase Elliott, Hendrick driver number 4 confirmed.
I mean, the way he's running this year, he absolutely is number 4. Bowman has been faster than him.
Yeah,
and Larson and Byron are obviously faster than him. They have been for a while.
I will say Chase has been near the top 5 for the past 3 weeks.
Ish. Still slower than all of his teammates.
Yeah, overall. Still doesn't have the results for it either.
No. Like, and that's the funny thing is, and people will defend Chase with their dying breath, but results say, and the way he has run in races this year, he is the 4th Hendrick car right now.
Yeah.
So you can cancel me all you want for that, but it's the truth. I feel like I'm already canceled and I don't care. So whatever. So
well, you are now. So
exactly. But that's going to be it for this weekend. Doc has decided to it's nap time here on my lap. So I think that's our cue to end it for the day as Tyler has things to do as well. So we will be back next week to talk Martinsville. Hopefully Martinsville isn't terrible. Hopefully it's better than Richmond was this weekend. We shall see. If nothing else, we're going to have the parade in Japan to watch too. So, that hopefully will be fun, but, yeah, that's going to about do it for this week. Have a good weekend, y'all. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. At that, I'm Garth. That's Tyler. And this is the Rookie Stripes Podcast on Racing News Now.